Hi, this is Phoebe Blamey, and welcome to the Happy Money Journey podcast for today. I'm really excited to have you here. I have spent most of my life working in financial services. I'm a qualified financial planner and I have my own mortgage broking business since 2006. I know that as a busy woman, it's really hard to get your life into some sort of shape. And so I'm here to help you on your own happy money journey. Hey, it's your host, Phoebe Blamey, and here we are for another Happy Money Journey podcast. I am so pleased to see you here today. So thank you very much for joining me. I am, as always, eternally grateful for your listening. And today I wanted to talk about financial freedom. Financial freedom, I think, for a lot of us is something we look at as this big future focus, something that's going to happen in time. Some of us may have already achieved financial freedom. If so, this podcast might not be for you. And some of us maybe kind of be thinking along the lines of financial wellness or financial well-being or financial certainty, as well as needing a bit of financial freedom. So I did quite a lot of looking into this before this podcast, as I always do, because I really wanted to examine that language around what financial freedom meant. And it means so many different things to so many different people, but the overall was having met your financial goals or having an income that was a passive income that would allow you to do whatever you liked. It wasn't necessarily being a billionaire, but it was that kind of vibe for financial freedom. And I was at dinner on Wednesday night and I started talking to some of my friends and I asked them what they thought of financial freedom. And their financial freedom was on a much smaller scale. It was stuff like being able to go on holidays when they wanted or being able to tap their credit card and not have to look at their bank account first. It's just the small things. Being able to go out to dinner at all was financial freedom. So being able to make choices with your money became part of their definition of financial freedom. And then for my own, I sort of think of financial freedom as having a level of financial certainty, but also the ability to grow or do whatever I like with my money. So without needing to be constrained by the thought of money having a huge consequence of any action that I'd take. So if I decided to go on holiday, then I couldn't afford to pay my bills, then that's lacking financial freedom for me. And I then started thinking about a quote that I'd read this week, which is, money can buy you happiness if you know what to do with it. And that to me was such a powerful quote because I listened to Sarah Prout and other people on the laws of attraction and manifestation and all that sort of stuff. I love that sort of stuff. I eat that sort of stuff up. And I really like thinking of affirmations and law of attraction and the ability to manifest the life that you want as being, you know, a secret superpower that we all have. And because we've got that secret superpower, shouldn't we all be laden with bundles and bundles of money? But that's not really what happens, is it? Because we've got our sense of scarcity and our sense of fear and our sense of lack that often holds us back from getting that. But we've also got, you know, our own doubts. But then we've also got the problem of if a bunch of money landed on us, what would we actually do with it? How would we spend it? Do you know what I mean? Like we all think, you know, we'd pay off the mortgage or we'd go around the Greek islands or we'd do these amazing things or, you know, we'd buy our children homes or we'd, you know, live the life that we'd only dared to dream about. But it comes down to that same thing. Money can buy you happiness if you know how to use it. And this is why we have that urban myth of the Tats Lotto winner or the lottery winner that comes into all this money and then after 3 years is in exactly the same financial position that they were before they had the money. And it's that not knowing how to use it that really constrains our financial freedom. Or it's one of the things I think that really constrains our financial freedom. The other thing is the sense of lack and scarcity that often follows the way that we think about money and the way that we interact with our money. So I wanted to today have a little conversation with you about how some of those things are challenging you at the moment and maybe some of the actions that we can take to dispel the myths that come with money and dispel the sense of lack and the sense of scarcity that we've often got around money. And I wanted to start with looking at the stereotypes, the gender stereotypes that we have around money. Because as I was researching this, I came across some really interesting stats. One of them was that 54% of Australian households have the female as the main breadwinner. Isn't that interesting? The second is that Starling Bank did a survey. Starling Bank's in the UK, did a survey of advertising and money that was gender specific, and really interesting, and I may have mentioned this survey before, but really interestingly, the way that women are spoken to in ads about finance are about needing to rein it in, being extravagant, being, look, honestly, the way that I looked at it, being like a sugared up toddler in a shopping centre with money to burn. We're spoken to as if we are less than, that we don't have the knowledge, that we are going to be frivolous with our money. And if 54% of us are running the house, the main breadwinner, that just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't hold true anymore. We don't have to go to our husbands now and say, honey, would you mind if I bought this dress? It's really pretty. It looks really good. Like, that's done. We're out of that kind of mentality with money for most of us anyway. And we do take responsibility and ownership with our money. But all this noise, all these things telling us, gives us that sense of scarcity, lack, doubt in our own capabilities. And to be financially free or to have that sense of financial well-being, we need to dispel some of the myths that are around money. And that can be harder for some of us to do than others. Because interestingly, if you as a female are the main breadwinner in your household, you are also 20% more likely to experience emotional abuse. And emotional abuse and financial coercion around money really will hold us back and will give us that sense of scarcity and lack. So if you are experiencing something that is beyond what would be considered normal, or if you're feeling that you're in a situation, we have some resources. They're in the show notes. Contact Wire in particular as a really good resource for women that are experiencing any kind of financial or domestic violence, and very important that you act and do something about that. The gender pay gap is, in actual fact, according to the Gender Equality Agency in Australia, the actual gender pay gap isn't the 13% that's bandied around. It's more like a 21% gender pay gap, because once we've included overtime and allowances and cars and all the things that come with the income, then men are in general 21% better off. Again, we're 54% of the main breadwinners of households. And on the flip side of all of that, the way that men are stereotyped as well, a Harvard study, which we'll reference in the show notes, of 6,300 people said men are 33% more likely to experience divorce if they are not in full-time work. We need our men as our heroes. We need our women as needing to be looked after. We've got these stereotypes that permeate our advertising, permeate our media, permeate all the ways that we do things. However, in an article that I read from Forbes, women fund managers outperform men fund managers in 2020. In 2020, 48% of women outperformed the market compared to 37% of men, which proves the point that I say over and over again, gender or age have no bearing on your skills with money. You can do this. So let's get down and actually start thinking about how those things affect us for a start, because they really do affect us. And secondly, what we're going to do about it. Like, what are the actual actions that we can take to get out of it? So that financial freedom, that financial well-being, is your ability to put down roots, to create resources for yourself so that you can leave a bad situation, be it a work situation or a domestic situation. You can spend with freedom. You can just go to the supermarket and tap and pay without having checked your account first. It could be the friends of mine at the moment traveling around Australia in a camper van with three of their four children.
It's amazing the things that you can do with that feeling of financial freedom, but also the actuality of knowing where your money is and how to use it. What are some of the things that you can do to put down those roots, to create the resources, and to give yourself the certainty of finances, yet still the ability to grow? And the first thing I'd say is understand your thoughts. What are your money scripts? Your thoughts around money do control your outcomes. So let's start with number one. Number one is your thoughts are your outcomes. So if you're experiencing scarcity and lack, it can often be because you're thinking in terms of scarcity and lack. So examine your thoughts and know what they're doing and know how your thoughts are impacting what you're actually receiving. The second thing is being grateful for what we have now. And that attitude of gratitude goes so far in creating that abundant mindset. If you're grateful for what you have rather than experiencing what you don't have, so gratitude versus scarcity, you start to create an abundance mindset that gives you the ability to really focus on creating and receiving and all the good things, all those manifesty things that I absolutely love. Three is changing your language around money. So the things that we say, that we actually say about money, really impacts our concepts and feelings of financial wellness. If we're always talking about money being the root of all evil or money can't buy you happiness, then we're going to receive that. So again, watch your language around money. The fourth thing is take responsibility. It's your money. You earn it and you need to own it. You need to take responsibility for what you're doing with that money every day. Fifth thing is have a look at how you are spending. So understand where your money goes. The sixth thing is stop that death by a thousand cuts spending on, you know, $5 on a coffee here, $20 on a takeaway here, and start really looking after yourself, nurturing yourself, and giving yourself a really good, you know, bring your lunch to work, look after the small things. I'm not saying don't get a coffee because that would be insane, but I am saying really start looking after yourself and nurturing yourself. Stop the takeaway. It's death by a thousand cuts. It's spending your money unnecessarily over and over again. And it is always the thing that when my clients look over their bank statements, they will sit there and say, oh yeah, I wouldn't normally spend sort of $100 on Uber Eats. This happened to be just this month because, and then we go back 6 months and we see the pattern. And the pattern is if you're used to doing a drive-through, if you're used to getting Uber Eats every night or something like that, those habits are hard to break, but they are death by a thousand cuts. They are really eating into your spending, but they're not necessarily nurturing you. So cut out those useless things that you're spending money on. Set yourself up for success. So set your accounts so that you're actually set up for success, so that you know that your minimum monthly repayments are always coming out of one account, that you can spend freely from another account, that you've got the freedom to spend what you want without thinking that you might have a bill or a payment coming out of that same account. Split them so that you've got fun money in one and serious money in the other, and just keep them split. And that way your expenses are always covered, but you always know how much you've got for spending money. Next is get your debt under control. So know what your debts are and actually start making sure that they're under control, that you're not missing payments, that you're meeting minimum requirements, that you've got some sort of snowball or avalanche method ready to go. And we talk about this in the courses. We've got the bonus debt destruction module. If you take up the debt destruction module, if you've got debt, seriously, an excellent resource for just getting that debt under control. Act now for your future. We assume the brightest and most sparkly future because at some stage, you know, the knight in shining armor is going to come riding in on his white horse, or we're going to win the lottery, or we're going to marry a billionaire. Marry a billionaire was always my mother's actual financial plan. But if we let a man be our financial plan, if we let anyone else be our financial plan, then we're not looking after ourselves. Act now to look after your future. And act now to look after your future means putting just a little extra into your super or your 401k or your pension fund or whatever it is. Just a little bit of regular into that is taking care of your future. Interest compounds. It makes a difference. It might only feel like $100 a month now, but $100 a month over 10 years will quickly add up. So it all makes a difference to your future. And the final thing is commit to some boundaries. Make sure that you've got boundaries around your money. I think a lot of the time we have unspoken agreements with people. I know that I've been guilty in the past of having the unspoken agreement around handing out cash to people or paying for things or being in situations where, you know, I'll buy the bottle of champagne or whatever. Those unspoken agreements, those need some boundaries around them. They need to be rejigged and changed because your money is your money. You earn it, so you own it. And you take care of it. And knowing where it is and what it's doing and what it's doing for you is the most important part of having your own money. It's yours, so you've got the responsibility for it. So they're my 10 things. And complicated, yes, but there is one thing, one single thing that you can do today to get on top of that feeling of financial freedom. And it is just simply to know where your money goes right now. Because if you do a deep dive into your spending, you will start to see patterns and you will start to see things that you can change. And this is how I started on my happy money journey. I just looked at where my money was going. I just didn't get why I never had enough money, why I always felt that sense of scarcity, why I was always feeling lack, why I was always looking around for someone to save me, because none of those things happened. I had to just pull up my bootstraps and save myself, start on my journey, get walking, and actually look deep dive into my own spending. So there's one thing I want you to do coming out of all of those 10 things, and it's just take this week to have a deep dive into how you're spending your money. If you're aspiring to financial freedom, it's not going to happen by accident. There's not going to be a knight in shining armor. There's not going to be a lottery win, and there's not going to be a billionaire. You are the person that has responsibility for your own money. If any of those things happen, what a bonus. And what a bonus if you know what you're doing with your money. So this week, little exercise for you to take away. Just have a look through your bank statements, have a look through your money and see how and where you're spending it. You might be able to make some small changes straight away, but that's the first step that I took on my happy money journey to financial freedom. And just to finish off, I wanted to let you know about the mini money makeover course. So all of the things that I've talked about today, your mindset, doing a deep dive into your finances, getting your account set up and putting yourself into a really cool vision for the future, plus a couple of bonuses like the debt destruction and the spend cleanse. Have a look at the mini money makeover. It's actually the result of me 10 years ago trying to get myself out of my own financial dilemma. And as you know, I'm a qualified financial planner and I should have known better, but anyone can get into these situations where we're just feeling scarcity and lack all the time. Our spending's out of control and there are things that we can just do a little bit better. There's small changes, anyone can make them. And if you're struggling at the moment, hop on and have a look at the courses. We'll put a link in the show notes. And of course, all our disclaimers and links to our socials are about to pop up. Thank you very much for listening again this week and have a great week. And most of all, enjoy your journey. I'll see you next week.
Disclaimer. Just a reminder that the advice that's contained in this podcast is general in nature. It doesn't take into account your individual needs and circumstances, and we recommend considering the appropriateness of any advice to your individual circumstances and needs. We always recommend seeking the advice of an expert before making any financial decisions.